Well, I want to thank you for your generosity to give unto the Lord. I'll tell you, I told you on Sunday that we were meeting on Monday with our architects, and we did that, and we have some drawings. They're not blueprints, but they are some renderings of the elevations and the interior of the new building and those kinds of things. And my guess is before very much longer, you'll begin to see some pictures on that wall over there that will be a very close depiction of what our new building is going to look like inside and out. There's things that you won't be able to see, like colors, because obviously those are things that haven't been picked out and all those kinds of things. The roof and the interior, and there's just a lot of things that you won't know, and I won't have the answer to. So just look at them and thank God for what He's doing, and begin to thank Him for the miraculous provision from heaven to get that thing built right out there. Amen. All right, no more announcements. Let's get in God's Word tonight. Amen. We're getting dangerously close to finishing up this Bible study in Philippians. What are you laughing at? We've only been in this Bible study for just over a year, and so to get through four chapters, I think we're doing pretty good. Personally, I think it's fine. But at any rate, I want to go back and I want to look at, to bring us up to speed to where we're at tonight, and some things that stuck out to me in Philippians, or in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Paul said that we know all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to His purpose. Amen? I want you to understand what's being said in this verse of Scripture. Paul said that we know. So I want you to leave here tonight knowing that everything that you go through, because he said all things work together. And so if you've been very long with me, you know that I've done a word study on the word all. And the word all means the complete sum of. It means all. So everything, all things that you go through are working together for your good. It might not feel like you're good in the moment. It might not look good the next week. But the things that we go through, God is using those things to cause us and to create in us the person that He is wanting us to be. And so God in His providence caused the church in Philippi to become concerned about Paul's needs, and it came at the very time that Paul needed it. Listen, that's the cool thing about God, is He knows what you need, when you need it, and how to get it to you when you need it on time. How many of you know God ain't never late? God isn't ever late. And so I want you to understand that many Christians today have opportunity but lack concern. Many, many Christians today have opportunity, but they lack concern. I was talking to a group of men this past week, and we were talking about church services, and we were talking about the way things are done in church services and so forth, and was talking about a church service, and they was talking about altar calls and the importance of altar calls. And I asked this question. I said, well, is there going to be an altar call? And they said, no. And I said, well, then what's the point of having church? Just like that. And I followed that up with, if we're not going to have an altar call, if we're not going to give people an opportunity to give their life to Jesus, what's the point in having church? Are we just a club? This church ain't a club. This is a soul-saving station where people can give their life to Jesus. But people have to be given that opportunity, because the average person that comes into this place, if they don't have Christ as their Savior, they don't maybe even know they need Christ as their Savior. They might not even know they need to ask Christ to be their Savior. And again, many Christians today have the opportunity, but we lack the concern. We assume, and I don't need to explain to you what it means to assume, do I? Break that down for you? We got that? But church, that's exactly the definition when we assume that somebody doesn't need Jesus. When we assume that everybody's saved. Listen, that's the worst thing that we can do. We have opportunity every day, but we lack the concern. And that's the cool thing about Jesus, was He is concerned about everybody. Jesus was concerned about every person He come in contact with. He was concerned about them. He couldn't go to a funeral without messing it up, because He was concerned for those involved. Life is... Oh, boy. Life is not a series of accidents. Life is not a series of accidents. Life is, in fact, a series of appointments, divine appointments. Craig, I'm looking right at you, brother, and because as I'm reading this, as I'm going back over this, I hadn't met you when I put this on paper. I had not met you. But your life the last week is depicted right here. It wasn't a series of accidents. The guy in the boat was a divine appointment. The lady in the parking lot, that was another divine appointment. And Psalm chapter 32 and verse 8 says, I will guide you with my eye. You didn't even know you were being guided. Some of us tonight don't even recognize that we've been being guided, but God in His sovereignty has been guiding us to this day. He's been direct. I said already, Psalm 34, verse 23 and 24, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. God has been directing our steps, church. Life is not a series of accidents. I want you to write that down. Somebody needs to write this down. Life is not a series of accidents. It is a series of appointments. Abraham called God in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 14. He called Him Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will see to it. The Lord will see to it. And in John chapter 10 and verse 4, it says this, and when He putteth forth His own sheep, He goeth before them. This is the providence of God. It is a wonderful source of contentment. God is the Jesus Christ is our shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd of all. And we are His sheep. And the shepherd goes before us. Isn't that amazing? In Philippians chapter 4, verses 11, 12, and 13, is our part of our text for tonight. And I want for us to turn there to Philippians chapter 4. It says, now, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Wow. Even wire up lights without getting electrocuted. Judy remembers one time when I was about 3 years old, I tried to do some electrical work and that didn't turn out so good. Caught the house on fire, blew me out from behind the stove. It was wonderful. You do not saw on a 220 pigtail with a paring knife. I'm just telling you, that's not a good practice. It will kill you. I'll tell you what, it is a shocking revelation when you find those two wires, I can tell you that. Woo! Like, hello. Anyway, are you able... Boy, this is going to be tough. Are you able to get along happily, to be content in any circumstance you face? Now, you don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to voice your answer. I'm just throwing it out there for you to think about. But I'll just go right out and tell you that I still struggle with some of them things in my life. Paul knew how to be satisfied whether he had plenty or whether he was in need. Because Paul wasn't moved by material things. Paul had settled some things in his soul and in his spirit. And he knew that he was Jesus' son, and that's really all that mattered. He knew that he could do all things through Christ that give him strength. And Paul knew, as in, he didn't wonder, it wasn't a question, it wasn't open for debate. This is a matter of fact that Paul knew how to be satisfied whether he had plenty or whether he was in need. So the secret that that Paul is alluding to here, the secret was drawing on Christ's power for his strength. Hello. He's the source of our strength. He's the source of our life. He has breathed into us the very breath of life. So the question then is, do you have great needs? Or are you dissatisfied because you don't have what you want? This church has a great need in regards to the new building. We have a great need. We've got a great start on the financial basis for what we're going to do, but we haven't attained to it yet. But I believe this. I believe, just like walking by faith, that every time you take a step, God is putting whatever you need under your feet to sustain you. I believe as we begin to break ground, I believe as we begin to dig up the dirt and lay conduit in the ground to carry the electrical stuff, as we begin to do the things that God has called us to do, I believe God by His providence is going to make it all just happen. And people are going to stand back and go, what in the world? How is that happening? How do I even say this without sounding... And God knows my heart, so I'm just going to go ahead and say it. But because of all the COVID that's happened in the last 2 years, a lot of churches have lost a lot of attendance. And because they've lost a lot of attendance, they've lost a lot of finance. And I was in a ministerial meeting the other day, and they were talking about that. And they made it a matter of prayer that, listen, our finances are way down. And I didn't say anything. But I wanted to say, man, our finances are way up. Nothing because of me. Nothing because of us. But because of the faithfulness of God and the obedience of God's people that said, listen, we're not going to be dictated by fear and ruled by fear from some virus that they threw on us and said, now, and I shared the message that I preached on the children of Daniel's and his and the boys there when they were isolated. They were isolated, and then they were indoctrinated, and that's exactly what they were trying to do to us. And I shared that, and they was like, It began to click with them. And I said, listen, man, our job is to get out there and reach this city. And if we'll reach the city, the finances will come with them. This ministry can't be about our finances. Is this still working? Because ministry cannot be about finance. Ministry is about getting the lost saved and heaven bound. And God will take care of resource to make it happen. Amen? And so I just want for us to be real clear on that. We do have great needs. And I am in no way dissatisfied because we don't have the sum total of it all. We have been blessed beyond measure in this house. We have been blessed beyond measure. And I'm in no way dissatisfied because I don't have the things that I want. I've got everything I need and then a whole lot more than that. I have been blessed. Me and Tammy have been blessed. I can tell you, this church has been blessed. We don't deserve half the stuff or a quarter of the stuff that we have, but God is a good God. And just like you are a good parent and you like to see your kids happy, God likes to see us happy. So listen, we need to learn how to rely on the promises of God and on the power of Christ to help us to be content. You ever just wring your hands? I'll tell you what. I want this and I want that and I want the other thing. And we just get to fussing and carrying on. Just give it to the Lord and let Him deal with it. Learn to rely on His promises. Seek first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's His right standing. And all these things will be added unto you. Here's what I've learned in my 40 years maybe or whatever, 35 years of ministry, youth ministry and everything included. The more you seek God, the clearer He becomes, and the more distant the things become. That make sense? So most of us have learned what it really means to be abased. Because when difficulties come, we immediately run to the Lord. But there's not very many of us that have learned how to abound. Amen? Not too many of us have learned how to abound. Prosperity has done more damage to believers than has adversity. Let me say that again. Prosperity has done more damage not only to believers but to the church as a whole than has adversity. Revelation 3:17 says, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. What does prosperity mean? What's the definition of prosperity? Somebody tell me what prosperity means. What does it mean? Abundance? What does prosperity mean? Pardon me? Earnest? No? More than plenty? You stay out of it. Somebody else. Go ahead, tell them. The literal definition of prosperity is that you might have a pleasant journey. A pleasant journey. Listen, that pleasant journey might involve money. That pleasant journey might involve not having any money. But we have seen TV preachers, and I'm not knocking them, so to speak. But when it's all about you send me your money and God's going to bless you abundantly. You send me your $100 and God's going to give you a 100-fold increase. I got a plan. You send me $100 and you take the blessing. Huh? You ain't seeing that. But I mean, if they're really desperate and they really want the money, don't you think that makes more sense? I'm going to send every one of you out there a $100 bill. And because of it, I am just going to get blessed. And the reality is, if their heart was right, that very well could exactly happen. Amen? I'm done with that. I'm going to move on. But do you see? Do you see how prosperity has done damage to the church? Because what started out in TV evangelism to be a very good thing has turned into big business and money. lots of money. And the whole idea of winning the lost is kind of taking a second seat. And I'm telling you, we're going to stand before the Lord one day and give an account. And while I'm on the subject, let me just go ahead and throw this out there too, just in case. When church folks send their tithe to a TV evangelist, they're in trouble. Because that's not what God said. You feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. But God said in His Word, you bring the tithe to the storehouse. Now, if you want to send them an offering, that's completely fine. But you have to understand, folks, there's a difference between an offering and your tithe. The tithe belongs to God. You read about it in Malachi chapter 3, it's pretty plain. And above that are offerings and alms and all those kinds of things. You can give an offering to anybody you want. But you have to bring your tithe, biblically speaking, to the storehouse. Where's the storehouse? This is your storehouse. Where you're getting fed. We could call it the barn. Where the sheep come to get some hay. Amen? I'm just trying to keep you... I'm just trying to tell you the truth tonight. Like, I mean, I did Sunday, but I'm still trying to tell you the truth. Pardon me? Yeah. Well, yeah. In Malachi, what she's talking about, if you bring all the tithe into the storehouse, then you're going to be blessed with a blessing you can't contain. And he goes on to say that you'll be that he will rebuke the devourer. Can you? I mean, I almost feel like going to chapter 3 and starting to preach that thing, but that's for another day. But it does. It even gets uglier than that. He said in His Word, He said, if you're not bringing the tithe to the storehouse, I shouldn't even say this, but I'm going to. You know, it's kind of like letting all the kittens out of a bag and then trying to get them back in. They're going to fight you. But He said right in His Word in Malachi, you can read it yourself in chapter 3, He said, if you don't bring your tithe to the storehouse, you are cursed with a curse. And you are robbing God. Listen, church, for my people, my sheep, my flock, I don't want any one of us living under a curse. And I'm not trying to get an offering. We've already taken the offering, didn't we? Did we already take? All right, good. See, I'm not trying to get an offering. I know we're not doing it again. Glory to God, we're not doing it again. I'm just trying to tell you, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not trying to build up an offering. I'm just trying to get the blessings of God in God's people's life. Amen? Moving on. Prosperity has done more damage to believers than has adversity. Because when you are under adversity, if you're walking with the Lord, you're trying to do the things of God. When adversity comes, God is who you go to. Amen? The word instructed in chapter 12, we have the word learned there, but it's also the word instructed in chapter 4 and verse 12. It's really not the same as learned in Philippians chapter 4 and 11. Instructed means that you are initiated into the secret. In verse 11, it means instructed means initiated into the secret. What's the secret? The secret is the gift of God. It was a word that was used by pagan religions to refer to their inner secrets. And through trials and through testing, Paul was initiated into the wonderful secret of contentment in spite of poverty and prosperity. Paul had something inside that money couldn't change, either with or without. It didn't change because Paul had learned the secret of being content. Me and Tammy lived for almost 3 years, I'm guessing.
well, maybe not quite that long, in a travel trailer. We drug that thing from here to North Dakota and back and lived in it here for a couple years, I think. And we were just as contented, if I'm not mistaken, we were just as contented basically in that trailer house as we are now on a half-acre ground with a three-bedroom house. So the obvious thing that y'all are thinking right now is, well, why did we get out of the trailer house? Because I couldn't have y'all over to my house for dinner or any Bible studies or anything else if I'm living in a trailer house that the two of us barely fit in. And besides that, it says something to the congregation when their pastor doesn't live in something he can back up to, hook up to, and get on out of town. Amen. Woo! He gone. It's called putting down roots, church. It's called putting down roots. And we're here for the long haul. And I mean that's just where we're at. So again, 4:13, Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's the power of Christ within him that gave him this special or spiritual rather contentment. Contentment is great. Doesn't the Bible say that contentment is great gain? Godliness. You would have to go and throw me under the bus with that one. I appreciate it. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Again, it goes back to the thing about righteousness. Righteousness is not a place or a thing. Righteousness is your position in Christ Jesus. It's your position in Christ. I'm hidden in Christ, the Word says. So I found this story is a great story, and it contrasts about being abased or to abound. And here's the story. Fog had moved into O'Hare Field at the airport that serves Chicago, and my departure had been delayed. I was sitting in the terminal reading a book and quietly asking God to work out His plan for the trip. Near me was a gentleman waiting for the same plane, but he was pacing up and down like a caged lion. And the language he was using to describe the fog was making the atmosphere even more dense. I thought to myself, here's a man without any inner resources. And later he asked me how I could be so calm when the planes were all late and I had the opportunity to share the gospel with him. And so while flying back to Chicago from Upper New York via New York City, we had to stay in our holding pattern over Kennedy Airport for more than an hour. And when the stewardess announced that we would be landing an hour late, the man across the aisle shouted, "Bring out the booze!" Yeah. It was his only resource when things were going against him. Listen, church, we have the God of the universe living inside of us. Amen? All of nature depends on hidden resources. The great tree. If you go to our website at harvestca.org, you will see on there a giving button. Over on the upper right-hand corner of our bar there, of the information bar, there is a give button. And if you just click on that, it'll pop up another screen. And on the left-hand side, it says online. Little button over, it says envelope, and that's for when you get back to church, you can give the old-fashioned way if you'd like, and give in an envelope, and then over on the other side, there's another button.
It's called Tithely, and that's actually an app on your phone, and you can click on that and walk through that process and be able to just give right there from your phone at any time. And for online giving, you just click on the little green button there, and it will walk you through the process of being able to give online. It's a very secure site. Everything about it is secure. You don't have to worry about your identity being stolen or any of those kinds of things. So that's up there for you to be able to give.
The place, church, where we realize that, this, listen, it ain't just about this 225 pounds of flesh. There is a spirit that dwells inside of me. This body, this hunk of hide, is a tabernacle, a tent of dwelling for the Holy Ghost. He lives inside of you. He lives inside of me. I'm ready for anything through the strength of the one that lives in me. The Living Bible puts it this way. I can do everything God asks me to do with the help of Christ who gives me the strength and the power. Isn't that amazing? So it doesn't really make any difference which translation you prefer. The reality is they all say the same thing. The Christian has all the power within that he needs to be adequate for the demands of this life. We don't have to succumb to alcohol. We don't have to be like the dude on the airplane says, hey, break out the booze. No, I got the Holy Ghost living in me. Why would I stress out about that? Have you ever been late to something only to find out that on the same route that you were going to go on, there was some kind of a horrible thing that happened and you just might have been right smack in the middle of it had God not delayed that thing? It sure has happened to us. All of a sudden, we ain't mad no more, are we? Oh, glory to God. Right? I mean, I'm just saying. Yeah. See? That's, people can say, well, now that's just a weather phenomenon. Nope, that's a Holy Ghost moment in my life. You can call it whatever you want. I just see it as the provision of God's hand on my life. Perspective, church. Listen to this. We need only... Let me back up. The Christian has all the power within that he needs to be adequate for the demands of life. We only need release this power by faith. I mean, he's in there. I mean, he's like a linebacker, you know, ready for the ball. As soon as that ball snapped, buddy, I'm out of here. And the Holy Ghost is a lot like that in our life. He's just ready. He's not going to jump out and say, I'll take control now, Tim. I got this. He's waiting for you to say, hey. Remember what Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 says? Anybody got that one memorized? Hebrews 4:16. Therefore, come boldly before the throne of grace and find help and mercy in your time of need. He doesn't say come crawling in there whining and crying about what you got going on. Oh God, I hope I haven't been so bad you won't hear me. No. When he says come boldly, It's like he just marched. Anybody ever just marched into your house when you was a kid? Marched right into mom and dad's house. My daughter Kayla, some of you know her. We lived in Utah. She is going through a little bit of a bad moment in her life. And she had a boyfriend, and that boyfriend broke up with her, which broke her little heart, which broke daddy's heart. And I don't know how old she was. I was already in bed. I had to get up early the next morning. She came right in there, crawled right in bed with me and her mother, and she rolled over and she said, "Daddy, I want you to just go beat him up." And I was like, "Where's my pants?" She didn't care that I had to get up in a few hours. She came boldly into the room because her daddy would protect her. And that's what Hebrews 4 and 16 is talking about. You can come boldly into the throne room of God and say, "God, I need some help and I need it right now." It's true. It's true. I didn't beat him up. In those days, I was a little more saved. Church, it's up to us to release the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. We have to communicate with Him. Jesus teaches this same lesson in the Sermon on the Vine and the Branches in John chapter 15. And that's a whole other sermon which may get preached here one of these days coming up. He is the vine, we are the branches, and a branch is good only for bearing fruit. Otherwise, you may as well burn it. The branch, however, does not bear fruit through its own self-effort, but by drawing on the life of the vine. John 15 and 5, "Without me, you can't do a thing." So, as the believer maintains his communion with Christ, the power of God is there to see him through. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13 again. In the Amplified Bible, it says, "I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency." So you guys got the wrong translation up there. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. How many of you understand that Christ is all-sufficient? And as His child, Tim, we can be self-sufficient because of His sufficiency in me, as long as I'm drawing on His sufficiency and not mine, which is where we tend to get in trouble. So the overruling providence of God and the unfailing power of God are two spiritual resources on which we can draw that we might be adequate for the tasks of life. Paul could get along happy because he could see life from God's point of view. Amen? I mean, just recently I was talking to somebody about the time when Samuel went to the house of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, to anoint the next king of Israel. And he said, "Listen, Jesse, I'm here at your house. We're going to have a service, and we're going to do all this stuff, and we're going to anoint, out of your boys, we're going to anoint the next king of Israel." And so the proud papa says to his biggest boy, "Come on in here. They're about to anoint you king of Israel," because he's the biggest, oldest, wisest, best-looking boy, big strapping hunk of man. And he comes in before the prophet of God, and the man, he said, "That ain't him. Get another one." So he brought another one, and he brought all of his boys in before him, and he said, "Hey, he ain't here." But see, Samuel knew that God had spoke to his heart, "I am going to anoint the king out of your family. You got to have more boys than this because I know what I heard." He said, "Do you have any more boys?" He goes, "Well, yeah. The one that never even crossed my mind. The runt of the family. He's just but a ruddy lad, red-haired and ruddy. And He's out in the field tending to the sheep. Go get him. We'll wait." That's what he said. "You go get him. We'll wait." And when he came in,
God said to Samuel, arise and anoint him, for he's the one. Why did all that happen? Because Dad was looking on the outward appearance of all of those guys, and God said, no, I look at the heart. Y'all look at the outside, I look at the heart. Amen? Paul was able to be happy because he was able to see life from God's point of view. Remember where Paul is. Paul's where none of us would probably be very happy. For the last four chapters, Paul's still in prison. He's in prison right now. He's writing this from prison. And Paul has learned to see life from God's point of view. He focused on what was supposed to do, what he was supposed to do, not what he felt he should have. So Paul had his priorities straight. Do we? That's just a good question to ask. I'm not trying to bring any kind of condemnation on anybody. I'm just trying to challenge you tonight as your pastor and encourage you to make sure your priorities are right. Paul had his priorities straight. He was grateful for everything that God had given him. And again, remember, this is Paul saying he's grateful even though he's in prison. Who can tell me tonight what the overlying context of the book of Philippians is about? Pardon me? Say it loud. Say it loud enough for everybody to hear. Joy. The overlaying text and context of the entirety of the book of Philippians is joy. Paul could be joyful in everything that he faced. Paul had detached himself from the non-essentials so that he could concentrate on the eternal. Oh my goodness. That's an amazing thing. Often the desire for more or better possessions is really a longing to fill an empty place in a person's life. Yikes. That'll rattle some people. Paul detached himself from non-essentials so that he could concentrate on the eternal. Often the desire for more and better possessions is really a longing to fill an empty place in a person's life. Listen, that's what the Holy Ghost is doing, is to fill those voids. To what are you drawn when you feel empty inside? To what are you drawn when you feel empty inside? How can you and I find tonight, in the midst of all the chaos that we may feel like we're through, how can you and I find true contentment? That medicine right there, the bread of life, the Word of God, blessed are those who hunger and thirst, for they shall be filled. Amen? How can you find true contentment? It's in Christ. The answer lies in your perspective, your priorities, and your source of power. Let me say that again. How can you find true contentment? The answer is, it lies in your perspective, your priority, and your source of power. So, where do we get our power? I'm reminded of again, Philippians 4:13, and I like what it says in the Amplified. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. My power comes through the all-sufficient one, Jesus Christ, by His Holy Spirit. This verse can be divided into two halves. The first half is, I can do everything. But you dare not stop there. To stop there and to pull the words out of context would in fact imply the idea of self-reliance, some kind of cocky self-assuredness. Well, I mean, I'm all that in a bag of nachos. No, you're not.
You were soggy Fritos at the best in and of yourself. I don't know if you've ever tried eating soggy Fritos, but they ain't good. No. You ever dig your hand into a bag of Fritos, pull them out, knowing how yummy they're going to be, and they just kind of conform to your teeth, and you're like, oh. Tim, keep it up. You're going to be over there with Bob. That is messed up. Jonathan, do you do that? Jonathan's calling on that one. He's like, I didn't do that. He'd tell the people. He said his kids bite them and then put them back in the bag. And they, oh, Lord Jesus. I got to get that picture out of my mind, I can tell you that. So again, let me go back. I can do, the first half of the verse says, I can do everything. And again, to stop there, to pull words out of context, would imply this idea of self-reliance. This kind of message that we often hear from motivational speakers. You can do anything you want if you put your mind to it. But that's not what the verse says. The last half of the verse is the source. It reveals the source of our strength, and that is Christ Jesus. God wants you and I to accomplish so much for Him in this world, but it can only be accomplished through Christ Jesus. We have to understand that. Instead of trusting our own strength and our own abilities, we have to rely on Christ and on His power. We want to know what God has for us. What do you have for me today? What do you have for me tomorrow? Where do you want me to be in this and that and the other thing? And do you want me to do this job or do you want me to do that job? Listen, we need to just be living for the Lord and just trust that He will direct our path. That's what it says. Isn't that what it says? Yes, ma'am. Yeah? Well, see, what she said was as she was sitting at home tonight just watching TV, that she felt the necessity and the need to be in church tonight. And you don't even come to this church, which is fine. We don't care. I was a Baptist too. You use First Christian First. Listen, I don't care as long as we're all Christian. I don't give a rip what you put over the door. As long as we can agree on that cross right there, we're in good shape. I don't care if you're a tongue talker, Holy Ghost filled, all that. All I care about is, are you born again? Woo! Can I get an amen from somebody? I'll pay you for an amen. What is with you guys? That was not a rabbit trail. That was not a rabbit trail. You missed the mark on that one. Let me tell you something. To just be feeling like you want to sit at home and then all of a sudden, hey, I should go to church. And I'm not saying you would have even missed out on anything had you not came. But I'm telling you, the mere fact that you are obedient to the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you is huge. It's huge. And I commend you for coming tonight. God wants you and I to accomplish much for Him in this world, but only through Christ. Instead of trusting your strength and ability, we've got to rely on Christ and on His power. Paul's confident words can be spoken by every Christian. Every one of us can speak these same words. Paul's words can be spoken. The power that you and I receive in union with Christ is sufficient to do His will and to face the challenges that arise from our commitment to doing it. Amen? Because we are going to encounter opposition. Amen? We're going to encounter opposition. The enemy has been... The only way I can really explain it is in my life from elk hunting and deer hunting and bear hunting, and there's a thing that is called patterning. And you can go out and study the animals and study them and watch them, and they have certain patterns that they do. There's certain things that they do repeatedly, and they're in certain places over and over. I remember watching a Eastman Kodak movie from years and years ago of the Phantom Ram. If you ever get an opportunity to look that up, that is a fantastic movie. It studies this group of bighorn sheep and a ram that is, let's say a ram walked through our parking lot today. A year from now, next year, you could come back here and that same ram would walk through our parking lot again unless he was killed or something, wounded bad and couldn't get around. They're very patternable. And the enemy has been watching us and studying us and patterning us and seeing what we do, what we like, what we don't like, what gets us messed up, all this stuff. And that's how he uses it. He cannot read your mind. He cannot read your mind. But he's patterned you and I, and he's studied us to the point that he knows already. So we have to realize that we receive power in our union with Christ that is completely sufficient, more than enough to do His will. And it's more than enough to face the challenges that arise from our commitment to doing it. And as we contend for the faith, what does the word contend mean? What does it mean to contend? Pardon me? What does strive mean? Let's just spit it out there. It's a military term. It's talking about fighting. We have to contend. We have to strain. It's like a runner in a race putting forth all of his effort and energy to cross that finish line. We have to contend for the faith. We will in fact face troubles, and we will face pressure, and we will face trials. But as they come, church, we've got to be in the place where we say, God, Holy Spirit, Christ, would you strengthen me? Because I know what your word says, and your word assures me that I am self-sufficient, that without you I can do nothing, that I can do all things through Jesus Christ who gives me strength. And God, I'm yours. And I just trust that you're going to get me through this trial. You're going to get me through this battle. Amen? That's what God's saying to us tonight, church. That's what God is saying to us. You're not here tonight by accident. You weren't here yesterday by accident. God is guiding us. You got out of your comfort zone tonight and came into a Pentecostal Holy Ghost church. Not because we got rave reviews on Yelp. Hello. It's a website that critiques different people. You got here tonight because the Holy Spirit told you. You got last Sunday because some dude in a fishing boat and some woman out in the parking lot said, come here. Am I right? If that ain't God, I have no idea what it is. Amen. I hope you got something out of this tonight. We are winding this thing down. And I'm just excited. I am trusting and believing that God is building us up. Because if you don't think we're living in the last moments of the last days, you need to just take a look around. Amen. Because things are going south pretty fast. And so we have to be alert. We have to be in prayer. We have to be ready to fight. Spiritually speaking. Amen? Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you that your word is so alive. It brings us so much joy. It brings us so much help when we need it. And Lord, as I know that your word declares
that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I need that. I know that I'm rich and I'm increased with goods and I have no need of anything according to Revelation 3:17. Lord, without you, I can do nothing, Lord. And I am assured of that. But God, if God be for me, who can stand against me? Nobody. Not the devil, not the government, not a sickness, not disease, not pain, not nothing. Lord, when in you, we have all sufficiency. And so, Lord, I just thank you. And I pray to God tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would seal this word in our hearts. I pray that you'd quicken our minds. God, help us to receive from your word, from your Holy Spirit. I pray, God, that the things that have went in our ear gate tonight, God, that you would bring them back up when we need them. Lord, that's what you're in there for, Holy Spirit. You can remind us. You are our remembrance. And Father, I thank you for it all in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said amen and amen. God bless you tonight. Thank you for joining by way of the internet. I pray that you got something of nourishment from this word tonight in Jesus' name. Good night.